Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of A Downsized Life. This week I want to talk about something that I don't think it gets spoken about often enough, and that's a loneliness that can be felt when downsizing and starting over. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean the kind of loneliness that you're completely off-grid, or, you know, you have no friends, or you've left family and all you know behind. Although, you know, now that I hear myself saying that, it doesn't exactly make it sound like we're not experiencing that. But we're not, you know, it's not that kind. It's more about the loneliness of simple things that you may have taken for granted, or maybe didn't put as much thinking into before the move. I was reminded of this by an email from one of our newsletter subscribers, a guy named Dan Nouse, who's a WordPress solutions guy and writer editor. He responded to one of our introduction emails asking what topics would be useful to talk about on here. So thanks for that, Dan. So to answer Dan's question, when my wife and I weren't really the social butterflies that other couples can be, we would look to try and entertain where possible at our previous home. So this might be inviting neighbours or friends over for the summer barbecues, or going to visit family for a dinner and catch-up. Might even be something simple as one of our kids having a play date, and so we'd meet up with the other child and his or her parents and socialise that way. Sometimes it might just be an after-work drink with a colleague. For my own social outings, I'd occasionally take in a Toronto FC soccer game with my good friend and workmate Sam. For my wife Jacqueline, she might go to Zumba with friends and perhaps go for a walk or a bite to eat afterwards. Basically, there was a bunch of little things that we could do fairly easily because they were all in reasonably close proximity to where we lived. Now, it's not so easy. Now, while our new neighbours have been nothing but friendly since we moved here, it's not currently at the stage where we are attending reciprocal social events at each other's homes. And yes, our kids do have playdates, but the cold weather means they're indoor ones. So the small beach that's in town and the park that's in town, all of that will have to wait until the warmer weather's here. There's no after-work drink with a colleague, as I'm 80% remote, with the office 3 hours away in downtown Toronto. And Jacqueline's Zoom class is no more, unless she was to drive 2.5 hours south every week. So, as I mentioned, because of the cold weather, some of this is dictated by the fact that we moved in the winter, and it's pretty much always easier to socialise when, you know, when we're outdoors where other people are. And we can probably find replacement Zumba classes or similar in one of the larger towns that are only about 15-20 minutes drive from our home. But it's a convenience of, you know, stepping out of the house and having a host of things to do that you could walk to. Missing that is definitely the change. One of the biggest reasons we chose to downsize and start over was to get away from the noise of the city. Traffic, sirens, the hustle and bustle and busyness of people in a rush to be somewhere unimportant, or mostly unimportant. I'm sure there was some people that did have a life and death meeting to get to, but otherwise, you know, we get sucked into this mindset of everything is super important and we have to be there yesterday. And this busyness wasn't doing our anxiety levels any good. Both Jacqueline and I suffer from mental health issues, which you can listen to us discussing on an episode of my own podcast from last year. And I'll leave a link to that in the show notes. So if you're looking, you know, to listen to that, please check out the show notes and you can get a link to that episode. Additionally, the city we'd moved to raise a family was becoming like the city we'd hurried away from because it was too loud. Burlington, where we moved from, is slowly becoming like a mini Toronto with lots of condos going up, lots of digital advertising display signs. It just seems a mini Toronto. So it was definitely the right time to move. However, one thing I think that we weren't expecting was just how quiet it is up here and how dark. Where our new home is, there's maybe, I don't know, eight houses on the street spread out over a good stretch. There's a sizable distance between the homes, as in we're not separated by 5 feet of space between houses. So this, coupled with the fact that there's maybe one street light, means that the nights are really dark. When we look into our backyard, we can maybe see the front half of our deck, then the rest of the yard is pitch black. That makes it feel as if you're isolated more than you actually are, and increases the feeling of loneliness. Well, except for the fact that we clearly have a whole herd of animals crossing our yard at night, given the amount of tracks in the snow in the morning. Now, I realise that this might sound as if there's regrets in choosing somewhere so different from what we're used to, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Jacqueline's mentioned numerous times that this is something she definitely needed, probably more than she realised. I can see the changes in her and how this move has benefited her. Our kids are extremely happy, and yes, they still miss their old life and friends. They've more than made up for it with new friends here, new playdates. Ewan's got a new soccer team that he takes part in, and Salem has got a new gymnastics group, and she's talking about doing competitive gymnastics. So all of that adds up to their, you know, existing happiness. And for me, while I miss the fact that I can't just, you know, have a quick pint with one of my friends after work or a friend, you know, from a neighbourhood, it does make any trips I take back to the city all that more special. And besides, loneliness can be a state of mind determined by how we view it at the time. Some of the best moments can come from loneliness. I mentioned, you know, deer, or at least I mentioned wildlife tracks, but seeing a family of deer walk across the road in front of you is, it's just incredible. You know, just to watch them go about their merry way and not have a care in the world. Hearing the sounds of blue jays as they sing from the trees in the front and backyard. We're starting to put food outside on our window boxes, so the blue jays can sort of fly down there, eat their fill, sing a merry song, and be on their way. And it's really, really relaxing. And looking at what looks like a million stars in the sky, which is made easier by the blackness of the yard that I mentioned earlier. So yes, there might be less of a social aspect as a result of downsizing and starting over, but it just means there's a new social life, you know, still waiting to be found. And it might just take until the warmer weather arrives, but that's okay. The extended family time that myself, Jacqueline, Ewan and Salem are enjoying, it's something that I'll happily take in exchange. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, guys, and hope it gave you a little bit of insight into, you know, what a move like this entails. And as I mentioned, we'll continue to share our own experiences and hopefully hear from you about, you know, the kind of jump that you've made. If you're enjoying the show, you know, please recommend it to friends who may be thinking about making a move themselves, and feel free to leave a review on iTunes if you wish. It helps the show get found, you know, by others. Until the next time, guys, live well, live intent, and be kind to each other. PodChat is sponsored by PodNews. Get a daily email with all the latest news about podcasting free at podnews.net. From jobs across the industry to events and conferences, you'll find the latest podcasting info in the daily newsletter. You can add podnews.net to your daily briefing on your smart speaker too. Just search for it in your smart speaker app. And now, this week's episode. Hi there, Danny here from 1 Minute Podcast Tips, and welcome to the special episode. Today, December 8th, 1 Minute Podcast Tips turns one. When I first started a podcast back in December 2022, I wasn't really sure if a podcast that just had 1 Minute Tips would work. After all, how much information can you really get in a 1 Minute Podcast Tip? Well, it turns out, surprisingly, quite a bit. When you just really knuckle down and focus on the tip itself and make sure each episode is just purely one tip, you can actually get a lot of information out there. And thankfully, listeners seem to agree. So thank you for turning 1 Minute Podcast Tips into a show that a lot of podcasters enjoy, whether they're new podcasters just starting out or experienced ones with 1, 2, 3, 4 or more shows under the belt. To help me celebrate the 1 year anniversary, I've asked some of my favourite podcasters to share their own 1 Minute Tips with you. From marketing to production to community and a lot more, there's a lot of great information coming your way. So sit back, enjoy if you're watching on YouTube or enjoy listening on your favourite podcast app. Enjoy the tips.
Hi, my name's Ariel Nissenblatt. I am on the community team at Descript, and I'm the founder of Earbuds Podcast Collective. I am here to celebrate Danny Brown's 1 year anniversary for his podcast. In celebration, I would like to offer my own 1 minute podcast tip, and you know it's got to be marketing related. And my tip is that your podcast does not exist in a vacuum. Doesn't sound like a tip right off the bat, does it? But it comes with a little bit of instruction. Commit to regularly checking the Spotify charts, the Apple charts, the homepage on Pocket Casts, on CastBox, the homepage on Good Pods. Check out what other shows are trending in your podcast category. There are other people who are making shows similar to yours, and those people could be your potential collaborators, or they might be people that you feel competitive with. But I want to encourage you to see them not as competitors, but as potential collaborators. So be aware of what they're making, what topics they're focused on, and think about how you can collaborate with those shows. Happy anniversary to Danny, and wishing you all the best.
Hey there, it's Danielle Desir Corbett from the Thought Card Podcast, an affordable luxury travel and personal finance podcast all about finding creative ways to afford to travel and travel on our terms. One of my biggest tips for you, if you're interested in securing sponsorships and working with brands in the future, is to get into a regular habit of pitching often. I personally have a pitching day a week where I spend a couple hours reaching out to new brands, which are new leads for your podcasting business. This really helps you with strengthening your pitching skills and asking for what you want in a creative fashion. And also it builds relationships with new people that may want to hire you and work with you in the future. I hope you found this tip helpful.
Danny, it's Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting. Happy birthday to you and your show. My 1 minute tip is about imposter syndrome. And most of us deal with this. And you know who else does? Garth Brooks, Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks. Yeah, everybody kind of has imposter syndrome. And so what I always tell people to do is we think so much about the audience and don't think about the audience. Think about that one person who needs to hear your message. My little bumper sticker is spend $100 on a microphone and 100 hours getting to understand your audience. And because you really know your audience, then you know what you're giving them is valuable. So focus on that one person who really needs to know your content. Because when the need to serve is greater than the fear of looking stupid, you'll press record. Happy birthday, my friend.
I could spend 1 million minutes talking about Riffonic.com/graph, but I'm going to do it in just one. So my name is Lauren Pacell. I'm the founder of Tink Media. And if I could give you one single tip in a minute, it is go to Riffonic.com/graph right now. Do not pass go. It is a free website that shows you the audio galaxy or neighborhood of your podcast. So you type in your show and it will show you shows that have similar audiences. So not only do you get to learn about the other kind of shows that your audience listens to, but you can find great shows to partner with for promo swaps, feed swaps, guest swaps, all that sort of stuff. You can zoom in and swivel around. It's really fun. You can learn more about the shows that are there. And, you know, give me a glass of wine on a Friday night and I spend so much time just having fun, playing around, exploring audiences and neighborhoods, and you really will find the right way to partner with people, which is the best way to grow a podcast. Have fun. Riffonic.com/graph.
Hey, Danny, congrats on your 1 year birthday anniversary of your podcast. My name is Rena Friedman Watts, host of the Better Call Daddy show, a show I do with my dad. I interview interesting and controversial people, share the stories with him, and then he weighs in with his intergenerational perspective. That way we both up our wisdom rating together. And what I have learned from doing over 350 episodes is, dun-dun-da, follow up with past guests. There is gold in your inbox. Don't be a one and doneer. A lot of interview podcasts, they interview their guests and then they never talk to them again. Figure out other ways that you can collaborate, like doing this video right now, or do an IG live, a Facebook live, a LinkedIn audio room. Are your guests releasing a new course, a book? Can you do an update story with them? It doesn't have to be another podcast episode. It can be making short form content. Check your inbox. I'm sure you're overlooking possibilities and you shouldn't skip over them.
Hello, I'm James Cridland from Pod News, and happy 1 year anniversary to the 1 minute podcast tips podcast, Danny. I hope you celebrate appropriately. Now, you asked me for my tip, and I would say don't forget to take pictures with your guests. grab screenshots or cuddle up for a selfie. Those pictures are great for episode images, for social media, or for your website, but also great for other people to help promote your show, like your local newspaper or your appropriate magazine or even a daily newsletter all about podcasting at podnews.net. It's free. Seriously, the more pictures and material you have, the easier it is to promote your show. So get taking pictures as well as recording great audio.
Hi, my name is Devin Andrade. I work in podcast marketing at Tink Media. One of my favorite tips for podcast marketing is to remember that your audience contains multitudes. This means that when you're researching what other podcasts you could partner with for a promo swap or a feed drop, you need to think inside the box and outside the box. There's likely a variety of reasons people like your show, so you need to think about those reasons and then find the shows that match. People might like the tone and style of your show. They might like the length and format, or they might like the subject matter. So if you can research shows that fit in those different buckets, you might find audience overlap and some new potential listeners. Don't limit your collaborations to just one bucket. If you're feeling a little lost about what those buckets might be or what other shows your audience is listening to, you could always ask them. A quick survey that includes a question about what other podcasts they listen to can help you learn so much more about your audience, and that's very valuable to your marketing strategy.
Hi, Danny. It's M from Verbal Diorama here. You asked me what my 1 minute tip for podcasters would be. Well, I've been podcasting for almost 5 years now, all about the history and legacy of movies you know and movies you don't. And my tip would be to foster and build community and friendships with other podcasts in your genre and also beyond your genre as well. They're not your competition. We should stop thinking of other podcasts as our competition. They're your peers, your equals. Support them and they'll support you. Listen to their shows, message them, tell them you've listened to their show. Maybe they do something specific that you love. Ask them if you can borrow their format. You don't have to ask, of course, but it is just polite to ask. And even better, you could credit them for the idea on your podcast. For my podcast, I even go so far as to promote other podcasts who have episodes on the same movies as me. Why? Well, not only does it give listeners a great variety of podcasts on a topic that they love, but it also shows love to those other podcasts. And to be honest, we should all just remember that we're all in the same boat and a rising tide lifts all those boats. That's my minute up, I think. Thanks for having me. Lots of love. Bye.
Hey, my name is Mark Asquith and I am the co-founder here at Captivate. Happy birthday to 1 minute pod tips and congratulations to you, Danny, for making the show something that I think everyone really benefits from. So congratulations. My 1 minute pod tip for you, the serious indie creator, is to consider thinking very seriously about diversity in monetization. So many people strive to build their downloads, rightly so. They strive to build their audience, rightly so. However, they think that monetization can only come when you've hit a certain threshold. And whilst that may be true for CPM-based sponsorships and programmatic or spot sponsorships, it doesn't have to be the case with other types of monetization, memberships, subscriptions, early access to content, direct sales of fixed price sponsorships, listener support, tips, live events, merchandise, services, products. There's so much that you can do. And I'm seeing it so very often now where shows that have just got started are actually not only covering their costs, but they're becoming really profitable very, very early. But it's all about the mindset. Set yourself up as a brand, as a podcaster, as a creator, and consider that diversity in monetization. Eggs in baskets never works. Diversify your monetization.
Hi, this is Katie Lohr, and I write the Canadian podcasting newsletter called Pod the North. Here's my little tip for you. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, start with a measurable goal. I think a lot of people have these like grand ideas for how their podcast is going to grow and exist in the world. But if you're just starting out, start with a measurable goal of just 5 episodes, maybe 10, but 5 is a good place to start. That way, once you finish your first 5 episodes, you can sit back, look at how everything went, decide on how you want to move forward, if you want to change anything, if you really like how you did things. Just start with 5 episodes and go from there.
Hi, I'm Ashley Hamer, and I'm the host of the podcast Taboo Science, which examines taboo topics through a scientific lens. My bit of podcasting advice is to record video every time you're recording audio. That includes interviews, narration, any part of the content that makes up your show. Even if you haven't decided to do a full-blown video podcast, there are a lot of reasons to have video. Sorry, had to grab the cat. If you're promoting on social media, videograms grab a lot more attention than audiograms or static images. And if in the future you do decide to do a video podcast, you'll have archive footage you can use in those new episodes. It doesn't have to be fancy. You can set up your phone or even use your webcam. Just record video and thank me later.
Hi, my name is Tony Doe, and I'm the host of Into the Podverse. It's a podcast industry audio series featuring interviews with masters of the Podverse and insights from an African perspective. To the would-be podcaster, I have these to say. Be passionate about your project. Be patient with it. Hurry up slowly. Nurture it, and it will grow. Be willing to learn new things that will help improve your show. Take advantage of new technologies to accelerate and not replace your productivity. Take advantage of communities and networks as well, and learn from your peers. If you can't afford to outsource a need like production, editing, SEO, marketing, and so on, then invest in learning to do these things yourself. Hope this helps.
Hi, my name is Fabian Mickens, and I work at Tink Media. If I could give one single marketing tip for podcast creators, it would be to repurpose your back catalog. Imagine that your content library is a physical library. Every episode is a book, and every book has an endless supply of topics, themes, and chapters that are worth sharing over and over again. The key is finding ways to drive listeners to those books throughout the year with an intentional thematic hook. These hooks could be birthdays, seasonal holidays, current events, or commemorative moments. If you're able to do that, you can create traction within your feed when your show is having a production lull or during the time right before a new season is about to launch. We call that warming up the feed. By warming up the feed, you're helping your listeners to anticipate upcoming new episode releases after a seasonal break. An example that I like to use is when I worked with a great show about women musicians. The new season wasn't due until April. However, March was coming up, and March is Women's History Month. We figured we could celebrate the women from seasons 1 through 3 and use that time to tell listeners about the next season to come. We had 4 weeks to reprise our favorite episodes, and we had our hosts come in and give an intro to each episode at the top to plug the intention of the re-releases, as well as plug the premiere of the next season. The tactic worked out wonderfully. So repurpose your back catalog. Leave no episode behind.
Hey, fellow podcasters. My name is Andrea Koskai. I work at Tink Media, and I'm a podcast producer and marketer. So here's a game-changing tip for growth. Shift your attention to podcasting newsletters. If you're putting in a lot of work on social media and not seeing the results you want, it might be because not everyone on there is a podcast listener. So let your podcast be found by podcast fans who are waiting to find the next thing to add to their queue. Here's a how-to. Subscribe before you pitch. Take time to understand the writing style, likes and dislikes of the editors. And don't be shy. Even go ahead and ask them how they like to be pitched. Once you've got a feel for it, ditch the formalities and make it more of a personalized note. Keep it short and sweet. Why would they like your podcast? What makes it relevant and even timely for their subscribers? Which section should they include it in? Try this out, and soon enough, you'll have even more people appreciating and tuning into your show. Happy podcasting.
Hey, everyone. This is JJ Ramberg, the co-founder of Good Pods, the platform where you can follow friends and podcasters to see what they're listening to. My tip is to engage with your audience. Give them chances to ask you questions and to talk to you about what they're thinking. This will build more than just an audience. It'll build a community.
Hi, my name is Akshi Sinha, and I work at Tink Media. My quick podcast marketing tip is about app placements, pitching to apps for a feature. And I know these feel like the closest thing to like a surefire podcast success. And of course, there's more to it than meets the eye. But if you're starting out and a little bit overwhelmed, I would encourage you to focus on first observing what these apps recommend and how they curate their recommendations. This is true for Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, CastBox, etc. So try and open them and use them for a little bit every now and then to get a sense of what they're highlighting. This will help you make your pitch very specific. And a really quick add-on to this is pitch early, especially if your recommendation aligns with a specific holiday or an event. Good luck. You got this. You'll get better at it with practice. And I believe in you.
Hi, I'm Holly from Tink. And I wanted to share with you what I think is the gold mine of podcast promotion, the promo swap. It's a great way for podcasters at any level to expand your audience without breaking the bank. And what it is, it's a 30-second shout out about another podcast during an episode of your show. And in return, you ask them to do the same. You want to find listeners who already love podcasts, just like yours. So who do you swap with? For podcasters, the trick is to align with shows similar in size and vibe. Think of it as finding your podcast twin. It's about complementing, not competing. And how do you really make these promos pop, you might ask? Pay attention to the promos that catch your ear. Absorb what works and what doesn't, and craft that into a 30-second promo for your show highlighting who you are and what listeners can expect. You want to reach out to these shows with something short that says, I'm a fan and I value what you do. I'd love to share it with my audience to grow both of our shows. The key is to show them that this is a partnership where everyone wins. Their show, your show, and the listeners.
Hey, Danny here again. And I think you agree these were some awesome tips that everybody shared. And I really hope you enjoyed them as much as I did. For my own tip for this birthday episode, if you've got an idea for a podcast, whether that's your very first one as a brand new podcaster, or your second, third, fourth, or whichever one it might be as an existing podcaster, but you're not quite sold on whether the idea or not will run, just go with it. As I mentioned at the start of the episode, I really wasn't sure about one-minute podcast tips and whether or not there'd be enough value in a one-minute tip. But as mentioned, it did and it worked. So no matter what the podcast idea is that you have and how silly it might sound, just run with it. With so many podcast hosting platforms now offering unlimited podcasts, it's really easy for you to experiment. Heck, even use one of the three podcasting platforms and just get your idea up there. You don't even have to submit it to Apple, Spotify, etc. Just get in, create, publish, and then share a direct link with your friends and family, colleagues, etc. and get their feedback. The main thing is get the idea out there, because there will come a time down the line, whether it's 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, whatever, you'll think back and think, you know what, I should have done that idea, because now someone else has come out with it. So that would be my tip for this special episode. Take your idea from just a flight of fancy and make it something tangible. You never know, it could be the next big podcast that you create. Thank you so much for supporting the show for the last 12 months and making it one that many podcasters go to when it comes to being a better podcaster themselves. I'm looking forward to sharing more tips with you in 2024. Until the next time, happy podcasting.